Well, hi, and welcome to the Grace Christian Church podcast with Pastor Rob Parlente. Grace Christian Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church meeting right here in Manalpin, New Jersey. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. at the Manalpin Community Center.
So, Merry Christmas once again. So, the title of my message this morning is, Oh, What a Beautiful Baby. Oh, What a Beautiful Baby. And we're really going to look through the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1 and about three-quarters of chapter 2. But the key verse for this whole message today is Luke chapter 2, verse 10b, meaning the second half of verse 10 to 11. Amen? So most of us who've had children, or most of us have planned for a family, or most of us have brought children into the world, actually plan those children, amen? Some of them haven't, right? But most of us have planned our kids, amen? And there's a process to that. And it's interesting, it's funny, actually interesting, or unbelievable, actually, is a woman that I saw on the news, a news anchor, a weekend news anchor, actually had 9 children. She planned for 9, and she had 9, and she's 47 years old. So I said, wow, that's a lot of kids, amen? Imagine having 9 children. I looked it up. I'm not going to give you her name. You can go online and check, but she had actually 9 children. She's 47. And she had an 18-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, 11-year-old, 9-year-old, 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a newborn. Oh, could you imagine that? 9 children.
Wow.
And her last child actually has been born with Down syndrome and a heart problem. So look her up online and pray for the child. I'm sure she'd appreciate your prayers. But boy, oh boy, that's a lot of children, right? That's a lot of effort, time, and parenting, raising those children, amen. But most of us plan for children. You know, I don't have 9 children, and most of us have maybe between 1 to 4. I don't really know what the average is these days. Is it 1.5 or something like that? I don't know, amen. But Laura and myself planned our family. And Laura knew when she would conceive, and she told me, Rob, we worked that whole thing out. And when she planned it, and we planned it, and it worked out just perfect, and we ended up with 3 children, amen. 3 conceived children and 3 born children. Amen. And I have 2 sons and a daughter. And my daughter's in the middle, and she's here today, and my younger son's here today. Amen. But I'm so glad the Lord gave me 2 sons because I grew up in a household, and you guys know me well, some that know me for a while. Italian family, 2 grandmothers at the house 24/7, mother and 2 sisters. So I was always kind of like ganged up on my whole life, basically. So when I got to be about 20, I was like, I gotta leave, brothers and family, I'm leaving. And I left, but I was so glad that the Lord did that. He gave me a couple of sons. But my dad worked a lot, and I was always home, and I really was kind of overwhelmed by that, but I was so glad I had that family and I had my kids, amen? But once we were planning for a child, and then once we decided that she was pregnant with the child, then the next stage was what? Choosing the name of the child. Right? That's always what comes next in the phase of having kids, right? What am I going to name my child? And we typically do what? We have a couple of girls' names. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't check what we had, but some people do that. We said we either have, we're a girl, we don't want to know, but you either have a couple of boys' names and a couple of girls' names. And we whittle it down and whittle it down. And then when the child is born, we pick the name. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, a little history of my family, my dad, I was a family of 3 brothers. My grandmother had 3. 2 uncles, my 2 uncles and my father. And back in 1938, when she had him, and she gave birth to him, she went to the doctor in Scranton, Pennsylvania after birthing him and said, Doctor, what should I name my son? Imagine that. And the doctor said, name him Roberto. So she take off the oath, it's Robert. So my dad was named by a doctor. I was born in 1962, and guess who I was named after? My father. So guess what? My name, I was actually named from a doctor from Pennsylvania in 1938. I never knew, amen. Isn't that crazy or what? How random is that? How random is that? My name is after somebody, I don't know who it was. And my 2 sons, we named, and one's Luke and one's Matthew. And back in the, when I was working as a young man, the guys would joke with me and said, what, Rob, what are you going to have the apostles as your family? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yeah, well, I couldn't do that, right? But no. But that was the joke at my house in the job. But then, you know, we plan for the child. We conceive the child. We decide for the name of the child, okay? But then, here comes the birth of the child. the child comes. And Laura reminds me on occasion that that pain of that birth was so horrible that I would never compare to anything I would experience in my life. That's guys, right. Have you heard that story before? Amen? Some of you? I've heard passing a kidney stone might be, but I don't know. Never had that experience. But our children were born, and I was very happy and very blessed that we have a short period of time to raise them into adulthood and show them the ways of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. And that's an ongoing thing as they get older. But God, we birthed a child, and that was wonderful. But I want to say this. God also had a plan, the birth of a baby, and like me and my wife did. So God did this. God chose to name a baby. He chose who would be the mother of that baby. He chose how that mother would conceive that baby, and he chose the time and the place that baby would be born. So just like we processed that, God did that too in the spiritual realm. Brothers and sisters, that baby God planned, his name is what? Jesus. Amen? Thus, the title of my message today, Oh, What a Beautiful Baby. So we celebrate Christmas every year. As a reminder, we've celebrated this one thing, his birth. So I want to examine Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and most of chapter 2, and see how God from the eternity past came to fruition, his son dying, being born, dying on the cross, and offering man spiritual life and giving man his life. So there's 4 points to this message today. And this is baby Jesus was planned. And we're going to look at that. Luke 1, 26 to 31 beginning. A. Baby Jesus was named in Luke 1, 31b to 33. Baby Jesus was conceived, we see in Luke 1, 34 to 38. And we see baby Jesus is born, Luke, and we'll go all the way to chapter 2, verse 10b to 11. So let's do this. The key verse, Luke 2, 10b to 11. I'm going to read it, and then we'll open this service in prayer. It says this. I bring you good news of great joy, from which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there was born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let's bow our heads and open the service in prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for the birth of your Son. As we celebrate that this week, Lord, that without that, without him coming as the God-man to this earth, to die for our sins and be risen and resurrected, we would never have the opportunity to be redeemed, our sins forgiven, having new life and having your Spirit. Thank you for that we celebrate this birth. And I pray, Lord, you help us to really understand the meaning of this, the meaning of Christmas, the meaning of your birth, because really it's your death and resurrection and crucifixion that comes later that's the thing that gives us life. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's look at point one. Baby Jesus, he was planned. Now, follow along if you have a Bible. Luke 1:26 to 31a. I'll read it in the NASB. It says, Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. So what do we see in this account? That this angel named Gabriel was sent from God to communicate a message to the Virgin Mary. Who is this guy Gabriel? Who is this angel Gabriel? He's mentioned a couple times in Scripture, but if you went back a couple verses in verse 19, he describes himself in chapter 1 as somebody who stands in the presence of God. So brothers and sisters, there are angels that stand or are in the presence of God. And what are they? They're spiritual beings. Hebrews 1:14 says it wonderfully. They are ministering spirits set out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. There's a lot of teaching on angels. That's not for today, but I want to say one thing, that there's a hierarchy of angels, and Gabriel was one with a higher rank, amen? And he was sent by God to communicate a message to Mary, the Virgin Mary, amen? But imagine being Mary, okay? She must have been afraid, because it says, do not be afraid. So she must have been startled, seeing an angel, right? Being approached by an angel. Imagine what that would have been like. But I want to say this. angels are still in operation and working today in the life of believers. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? It is so true. There's guardian angels. There's angels around us all the time. They're in the spiritual realm. We don't see them, but they're here. They're probably here right now. Amen. But you know, several years ago, this is kind of giving an illustration. Several years ago, back actually 20 years ago, my wife was not feeling well. And those that may know me remember this. And she had a low, what was it? No, actually a high white blood count. And Lord, I was very sick, not feeling well back in those days. And my kids were all about under 10 years old back then. And Lord was very upset and distraught. I remember this. And she was saying, thinking that I'm not going to live. I have some kind of disease. And I'm not going to see my kids grow to adulthood. So she went for tests. She went for tests. And she ended up that they said, you got to go to an oncologist. And that's not always a good thing, right? So she sets up an appointment to go to an oncologist and carried on with her life. And then one day she went shopping in Wegmans. And she went shopping with my daughter, Brianna, was small, right? And she went into the grocery store. She bought all her groceries. She filled up her cart. And she brought her cart to our car to unload the cart, right? And she was unloading the cart, all the groceries, into the car, into the trunk. And some older woman who looked familiar came up to Laura and said, can I borrow your cart? And Laura's like, sure, when I'm done, you can borrow my cart. But the woman noticed Laura didn't look well or noticed something about her countenance. And Laura said, what she was looking. And she said, what's wrong? And Laura said, well, you know, I have a bad blood test and I'm not feeling well. And I think, you know, something's happening to me. I'm not sure. And she shared something with this woman, this older woman. This is what this older woman did. This older woman put her hand on Laura's shoulder and said this. You will be fine. God is with you. It's true. You'll be fine. God is with you. Laura went back in the car. My little daughter was in the car. I don't know if my daughter remembers this. She doesn't remember. And she said, Mommy, who did you talk to? Who was that old lady? And he said, let's go see. And she looked, and guess what? The lady was gone. Disappeared. Amen? Not there. Laura went to the doctor the following week. The oncologist said, there's nothing wrong with you. Okay? Why are you here? Go home. You're fine. Brothers and sisters, I believe that's a ministering spirit for comforting my wife in her time of need. God, angels are still in operation today and still working with us. Laura didn't recognize the angel, but was confirmed it was by what happened to the doctor's office. Amen. But Mary encountered an angel too. And we can encounter them too. We might know who they are still today. But she encountered this angel. You know what? Laura didn't recognize this angel, but she did. And the angel said to Mary, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. He said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And finally said, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. The message was this, Mary, you will conceive and bear a son. Brothers and sisters, this is the plan. This was God's redemptive plan from eternity past, communicated to her, the Virgin Mary. Okay? This is similar to us today as parents planning for a child. God planned it. Sometimes we plan, sometimes we don't, but most of the time we do. From eternity past, he knew that his son needed to be born and then later on crucified on the cross for the forgiveness of man's sin. Brothers and sisters, that was God's plan. That was God's plan. But then he named the baby. Point two, Luke 1:31b to 33 says, and you shall name him Jesus, the angel saying. And he will be great and we call the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. You know, the stress of finding and choosing the name was gone, done away with, right? Because the angel said the name is Jesus. So you have to figure and stress about the name. The name will be called Jesus. You know what? They took the stress away. It wasn't like my grandmother asking the doctor to name my father. She knew the name. But then she said, the angel said, all these descriptions of him will be great. Be called the Son of the Most High. God the Father, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Now imagine hearing that. She probably thought, what is this? She knew some of the Old Testament scriptures. She probably knew the first couple books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. She knew these things. She probably said, you know, this must be the Messiah. I must be bearing and conceiving the Messiah because he is the Son of God. Oh my goodness, she thought, I'm sure. The angel Gabriel tells her, name him Jesus. All these things he will do. That's like somebody telling us when we have a child what that child will do in life. Amen? Mm-hmm. Going forward, we don't know. But God's plan was for Mary to be the mother of Jesus, who was the Son of the God, the Most High. Amen? That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. He planned it, and he named the child. Then what happened? The child was conceived, the baby. That's Luke 1:34 to 38. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth also has conceived a son in her old age. And she will also, who's also barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary was confused. Mary was perplexed. Mary didn't know. How could she have a child? She said, I was a virgin. She said, I'm not even married yet. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. What is that? How does that work? Brothers and sisters, this is the virgin birth. Amen? This is how God became man. The Virgin Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit coming upon her. What that in a sense is saying is the Holy Spirit is kind of like in a sense inseminating a human egg in her. Amen. And what was the result of that was the God-man Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Do you believe that? Do you see that? This was prophesied. Isaiah 7:14 said this 700 years prior. He said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with a child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. She will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. You know, this speaks of one thing, that Jesus is God. Jesus is man. Jesus is the God-man. Jesus wasn't just a moral teacher. He didn't just have extraordinary intellect, okay? He wasn't some fictitious person. He wasn't a made-up person. He wasn't born by a human father. No, he wasn't. The virgin birth is not some fairy tale. The virgin birth is the truth of God's word, amen? He was born the God-man, and he died and rose again to offer spiritual life to man, amen, which is his life, which is eternal life. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man wrapped up in him, okay? And now where is Jesus after he's resurrected? He's sitting at the right hand of God, amen? That's where he is. But the question this morning for some is, you know, we celebrate Christmas every year, you know? It's funny, I don't know why I did this, but yesterday I went on my Roku and I watched Charlie Brown's First Christmas from 1965. Imagine that.
That's good.
And then that, in 1965, what were they saying? Charlie Brown, I don't really know the meaning of Christmas. He's kind of walking around. He has his little tree. It's really kind of cute, you know? But even since 1965, he didn't understand what Christmas meant. Yeah. And many of us today really don't understand what Christmas means, why we celebrate. We're celebrating the birth of the God-man, Jesus Christ. He is deity. He is God. You know? Something that is a miraculous event in time we celebrate every year, amen? Because without his birth, we wouldn't have his death, amen? What wonderful, wonderful, you know, the angel tells Mary her relative Elizabeth will also have a son. Remember that story? Zacharias. And who did he have? Remember him? John the Baptist. So I don't know how it all works, but I know John the Baptist is related in some way, cousin, third cousin, I don't know, to Jesus. Amen. But you know what? Elizabeth conceived in her sixth older age. And then in the scripture in 37, it says she was barren, 36. And then 37 says, for nothing will be impossible with God. So that was presented to Mary. What did she say? What was her response? And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She said, "May it be done to me according to your word." You know, I thought about this week. Mary didn't say, "Let me think about it." Mary didn't say, "Let me investigate what the scriptures say about that." Okay? Mary didn't say, "No way, I'm not doing that." Okay? Mary said, "Yes, I will do it." She didn't say no. She said yes. Because you know what, brothers and sisters? Back then, Mary had faith. Mary knew what the angel said was true. Because Mary knew this: nothing will be impossible with God. Think about that. Nothing will be impossible with God. We should really take that to heart, us today, should we not? God has given us thousands, I don't even know, I think up to 10,000 promises in this Bible, in the Bible. 10,000, thousands of promises in His Word. Amen. We need to have that same attitude she had. For nothing will be impossible with God. He promises things, brothers and sisters. But we need to have faith and step into faith into what He promises, and He will do it every time. Do you believe His promises? I do. Sometimes I struggle, but I do most of the time. But we should too. Mary said, "Yes, I believe. I have faith. You will do what you say you will do." She believed what she was presented. She had faith. She knew nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Amen. But then, the baby Jesus, what happens? Has to be born. And that's where we're going to go, all the way up to Luke 2, verse 10b to 11. But in between verses 139 to 210, I'm going to give you kind of a summary. All right? So what happens in those verses? Well, Mary visits her relative Elizabeth. Mary recites this thing called the Magnificent, which is a bunch of words and song that she sings, and praising God, favor on her. That's called the Magnificent. Mm-hmm. It consists of Old Testament quotations and stories. Then talks about John the Baptist being born in between this. For his father Zechariah's prophecy, how John the Baptist grew, how he became strong in spirit, how he lived in the desert, talks about that. How he was waiting for his time to preach repentance, paving the way for Jesus Christ, amen? Pointing, repentance of sins, pointing at the Savior Jesus Christ. That's what John the Baptist's role was. Then the scripture lastly describes a census, remember? We see it all the time. The census being taken. Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem to register for the census. Mary gives birth to her firstborn son, baby Jesus. And she does what? Lies him in a manger. Okay? Then we come up to this point. At the end of this narrative, then we see the angels appear to some shepherds and tells them this. This is the home run verse for the Christmas message today. "I will bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is the Christ." The angel, another angel appeared and said, "I will bring you good news of great joy." Something, this good news, what is this good news? I say it's looking forward to the gospel, brothers and sisters. The gospel is good news. Looking forward to Him who is this. He was the God-man who died for the forgiveness of sins of man. But He said He's been born, and He is this thing called the Savior. Savior is a very close word to salvation. The root of it means deliverer. So basically He's saying, for He has been born for you a deliverer. And who is this deliverer? Is Christ the Lord. He is a deliverer. Christ saves people from their sins. Christ saves people from spiritual death and gives them spiritual life. That is the message of the gospel, amen? Matthew accounts this too. Matthew 1, 21 says, "She will bear a son. You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." You know what? This is Matthew's account of the virgin birth. You know what? What about this being in sin? You know, God, Jesus came to the world to die for our sin. But what is this thing, sin? You know, I often say people can't relate to sin, but they can relate to spiritual deadness. You know what? You have a hole in your heart, and you know something's wrong, and that only way to fill that hole is Jesus Christ. You know, in the garden, Holy Spirit was connected to our human spirit. When Adam sinned, that was ripped away. Now we're living life with a hole in our heart, searching for something. The answer is Him. Jesus came to die for our sins, amen, and give us life. It's actually His life in us, which is eternal life. That's the message. But He's our Savior. He's the deliverer. He brings us from spiritual death the spiritual life. Amen. So indeed, brothers and sisters, our Savior has been born. This is great news, right? 2,000 years ago, and it's still great news today. Do you agree it's great news? Amen. 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 That's the Christmas story. John 10:10, the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's the Christmas story. Jesus had to be born so he could die for our sins. So that's how we celebrate every 25th of every December. Okay? Year after year, that's the real meaning. It's the birth of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Because you know what? He is oh, what a beautiful baby, is he not? Imagine seeing him laying there. He has such a beautiful name. His name is Savior. His name is Deliverer. He's our Savior. He's Jesus Christ. He's our Savior who delivers us from our sins. He's our Deliverer from spiritual death to spiritual life. He's a life giver. He's a forgiver. And ultimately, brothers and sisters, as we live the Christian life, he is our source of life. He is our source of dependence, all wrapped up in that little baby who grew up and who was crucified at 33 years old on a cross and rose after 3 days. That's the Christmas story. That's the celebration of his birth. Amen. It was all planned. God did it. He planned it in Jesus. He got married. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. He grew. He was born. And he was our Savior. Amen. And he was crucified and risen. And now is sitting at the right hand of God. That's the Christmas story. God carried out his redemptive plan. God named his son Jesus. God sent the Holy Spirit to come upon Mary. And God set a time and a place for Jesus to be born. That, brothers and sisters, is the Christmas story. That's what we celebrate every December of every year, the 25th. That's great news of great joy. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful story? Isn't that a wonderful birth narrative? Isn't our God great? Amen? He is him. It is wonderful. If you don't know him today, you can receive him anytime just by praying a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sin. I know something's wrong. Come into my heart and make me new and guide me and use me and teach me your ways. The instant, the second you do that, the Holy Spirit will be in you and dwell you forever. And then your life of exciting dependence on Christ begins. And boy, is that a wonderful ride to take. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to close this in prayer, and everyone's sitting. One last song. Thank you, Lord, for the Christmas message. Thank you, Lord, that your son was born, that he gives life, that we see the narrative, how you worked out all these wonderful things, to have him born to a Virgin Mary, your Holy Spirit coming upon her, him being the God-man, him being sacrificed for our sin later on in life. But what a wonderful narrative, how shepherds went there and said, what great news of great joy. Our Savior has been born. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for the opportunity that we can have you as our source of living. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus, and for your precious name. Amen.